Hey, wanted to thank you for listening to this podcast. This is going to be part one of three. We're going to spend the next three podcasts talking about the topic of what does it mean to know God. So enjoy part one. All right, well, thanks for tuning in to the North Peace Roundtable podcast. And we are like legit set up, lights, camera, action.
Roundtable.
We have a roundtable. And we're recording video and audio, so hopefully you can watch or listen to this. But let me just give you a little bit of background behind the topic for this week. So usually we record if someone has a question, they either text one of us or email and, you know, just ask what the question is. But this week's podcast came out of the sermon, actually, from last Sunday. So maybe I'll just take two or three minutes and just recap what the sermon was about, and then we'll kind of dive into what the topic is for today. So we've been going through the book of Hosea as a church. We're kind of walking through the minor prophets, and we're about halfway through Hosea. But last week we looked at chapter 6 and 7, preached two full chapters of the Bible in less than an hour. That's pretty good. but kind of one of the big themes of Hosea and chapter 6 and 7, which we didn't really get to for sake of time to really dive into, was this whole idea of knowing God. And it's come up even when you preached in chapter 4, that was one of the judgments against Israel, right? That they didn't know God. And in chapter 6 specifically, God says in verse 6, you know, I desire steadfast love rather than sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. And then earlier, Hosea kind of gives this plea to the Israelites saying, hey, let's return to God. You know, he'll bind us up, he'll heal us, we can dwell with him. And then verse 3 says, let us press on to know the Lord. So we didn't really spend a whole lot of time talking about, I guess, what does that actually mean? We talked about other things and how the gospel is present in chapters 6 and 7, but knowing God is a massive theme, not just in Hosea or the prophets, but like the whole Bible. Yeah. And we kind of you know, mentioned that on Sunday, that from cover to cover, this whole idea of knowledge of God is everywhere. Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus talked about it, Paul talked about it, John talked about it. Like all the minor prophets talked about it. So the question for this podcast, and it might turn into two podcasts depending on time, but we want to ask, well, what does it actually mean to know God? And then how do you grow in your knowledge of God, I guess? So I don't know where we want to start, Dawn. I we didn't talk about this before. I'm just going to throw this out to you. But do you remember kind of the first time when you were aware or you had a knowledge of God? Like, you know, wow, God, I think like God exists. I'm aware. I have knowledge of this creator. Do you have a, is that like, was that a moment for you or was that kind of a gradual?
There was an initial moment, but then it's grown over the years. But I, talking about this the other day, that when I became a Christian at a Bible camp, I was 10 years old, went home, and I don't know how long after that, but I just remember having very dark, disturbing dreams at night, and it just seemed like a presence would come into the room. And I remember one night, this has to be from God, because I just said, you know what, whatever's out there, I belong to Jesus now, so whatever... you don't belong here anymore. And I just remember the room just got quiet, peaceful. I could see, all of a sudden, see across the room. And I just went like, Jesus is real and he is powerful.
Huh.
And those dark thoughts went away. I never had them again.
Wow.
And I just remember even we had this long driveway and end of our street was the last light, and then we'd walk past that and go down our long driveway into the dark. And I remember always being terrified, but after that moment, I would walk down the driveway and just be at peace. And to me, that just helped me to see God is real and he's personally with me.
Hmm.
And that began the journey of getting to know him more. But that was a first initial experience with knowing God, an encounter with him. So I don't know. How about you?
That's not allowed. You're not allowed to.
You didn't clarify that before.
Yeah, I think for me, there's been kind of several moments that, you know, my knowledge of God has grown like yours. But there has been several key moments when it's like, wow, okay, there's no denying that, you know, God is real. And I had a knowledge of him. I mean, my story is, I grew up in a missionary family, pastor's family. So we heard the gospel often, all the time. And I can remember being 5 or 6, maybe. And my older sister had, you know, said the prayer and become a Christian. And then I just kind of, before bed with my mom, was like, I think I want to do that too. So she kind of did that with me. So that was kind of an initial, and, you know, we always talk about, was that real or blah, 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 and whatever, it happened. But I can remember being in grade 8 or 9 in high school and going to a big youth rally thing and like a stadium kind of thing. And there was worship. And I had been going to youth group and church. I mean, you have to when you're the pastor's kid, kind of. And professing, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. But I remember, and it's funny because if you would ask me who spoke, I have no memory of that. But I just remember whoever was speaking that night got up and he proclaimed the gospel, and it was all of a sudden it mentally kind of made sense. I went, man, if that's true, like,
wow,
I got to be in. But also in your heart, in my heart as well, not just a like logically this makes sense. It was a burning, like, I need to make this real and follow Jesus. So then at the end he asked, you know, if anyone wants to come down and accept Jesus. And I remember we were way up high, and I made this long trek down to the front. And for me, that's always been a key moment of just understanding that, you know, God clearly spoke to me through this preacher about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. So that was a key moment. And then since then, it's kind of, there hasn't been, you know, everyday really cool mystical experiences. Mm-hmm. But there's been key moments in my life where it's just God has shown up. And
I think that's the big message. It's a journey, this knowing God. We're going to talk about that. It's not some mystical thing or a one-time thing. It's a journey.
Yep.
And hopefully all of us, and that's the beauty of God, we each have our story of where we've encountered God. And it's this growing more and more knowing God and getting closer and closer to him. It's a journey, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
But it's an incredible journey.
Yeah, I think the first thing, and we'll get into, okay, what is it, like nuts and bolts, what does this look like? But I think the first thing to remember, and we talked about it a little bit on Sunday, is that the amazing thing about knowing God is that God is the one who initiates towards us. In Galatians 4, it talks about that. Paul says, you know, now that you've come to know Christ, or know God, or rather to be known by him, then why would you go back to these elementary principles that you used to follow? And so the first key thing I think to remember is that God is the one that actually initiates towards us. Even Romans 3, if you talk about, you know, here's humanity's condition apart from God, it says, you know, none is righteous, no, not one, no one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, they've become worthless, no one does good, and on and on and on. There's no fear of God. So human beings, I think scripture is clear that unless God initiates towards us, I don't think someone would wake up and go, you know what, I think I'm going to go on a journey to find out who God is, which is really exciting. If all of a sudden you're hearing that from someone, you're going, I think God is, God's initiated towards you, because no one would say that. So it's really neat when I hear from people in our church that, like, oh, my neighbor came over and was like, hey, can you tell me more about God? It's like, that should be like, ding, 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 ding. Like, because
God is calling.
Yeah, God is drawing them in because he is the one that initiates towards us, which is just an unbelievable thing to think about, that the holy, just, awesome God of the universe, he's the one that takes the first step almost towards us to initiate that relationship with us. Wow. And so we see, all throughout Scripture, there is this call and this narrative throughout the Bible of knowing God. And even, let's talk a little bit about the Old Testament, because even some people can say, God in the Old Testament, it seems like he's not really interested in a relationship. It's just kind of like, obey, 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 and if you don't obey, I'll punish you. So I don't know if you have specific scriptures down there, Don, but I mean, is that the case? Is it like in the New Testament, all of a sudden God kind of, chilled out a little bit and was like, fine, I just want to know you now.
Yeah. It's from Genesis on. I mean, right. In the garden, God wanted to walk with Adam and Eve and know them and be in fellowship with them. That was his whole plan from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I know even looking at the law, when Moses gave the law, or God gave the law through Moses in Deuteronomy 10 and chapter 30, God says, I want to circumcise your heart to follow me. Like, I want this to be a heart thing, not just an obedience to obey my law. I want it out of a heart that wants to obey and follow me. And in Deuteronomy 30, he says, choose life. And God says, I'm the giver of life. Hmm. And I want you to walk towards me and with me. Hmm. So even in the Old Testament law giving, that was the cry of God. All these laws were meant to be followed by faith and in a relationship, and out of that relationship to do what God wanted.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they didn't do it that way.
Yeah.
But right from there, and then through all the minor prophets, that's just, we're going to see it's a constant call.
Yes.
Including Hosea, where chapter 4 and 6 and even other, God wants us to know him. He says, I don't want your sacrifices and all this, the ritual stuff, if there's no relationship. Then it's just cold religion. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
So yeah, says, I always stop doing that.
Yeah, I find that just amazing throughout the major and the minor prophets. It's like God never says that, the sacrificial system is bad, but it's like if you're just doing it for the sake of, even in our text this week in Hosea, God says, when you sacrifice your meat, he's like, doesn't even view it as a sacrifice because their hearts weren't in a good place. So in Isaiah, in Amos, in Micah, in all of these places, God says, I'm not in, would you actually stop with your singing and your sacrifices? Because if your hearts are far from me, I'm not interested in that. So I think it's really good to remind ourselves of that when we read, to know the narrative of the Bible, that it's not as if God in the Old Testament was, I'm pleased with just outward, formal, follow the laws, and then, Jesus came, and it's about your heart now. All along, God is saying, I just actually want to know my people, and that's been the main charge against Israel, even in Hosea. Mm-hmm. Hosea says, you've forgotten your maker. You don't know God. And the fascinating thing is that Israel wasn't aware of that. They went like, what? What are you talking about? Of course we know God. But it was this empty, outward thing. My mind went totally blank.
Just a couple thoughts on that. I mean, why is knowing God important? I just wrote down a couple positive things, which really was encouraging to me. As we know God and how we're going to explain, it gives us a proper perspective when the hard things of life come. Sin loses its appeal. We know we're loved and cared for. Fear and anxiety lose their grip. It keeps us on the right path and away from drifting or being deceived.
Yeah.
So not knowing God, and that was the charge in chapter 4, deception creeps in. We don't stay neutral. We drift away from God if we're not pursuing this knowing God. Sin becomes more and more okay, and meanwhile, we think we're still okay, but in reality, we're moving farther and further away from God, and we become religious, not these authentic God followers. So I thought that was even neat, just what are some of the reasons or benefits of pursuing this, and it's not just a pie in the sky thing. There's actually really good things, which the Israelites forgot, and they drifted away from God into sin. They didn't stay neutral.
Then you get to the New Testament, right? All throughout the Old Testament, it's you don't know me, you don't know me, you've forgotten me. And then Jesus comes, and we're told that Jesus is, he reveals God to us. Yeah. He's God in the flesh. And Jesus even says in John 17, you know, this, you know, God, you've sent me so that I can give eternal life. Mm-hmm. And this is eternal life, that they know God and the Son who you sent. So even we see, okay, that the narrative has continued, that even eternal life, which we often view as like, you know, I go to heaven and then I get rewarded, which, yeah, sure. But the eternal life, the main thing is that we actually know God. It's not that, oh, I get a mansion and streets of gold. That's great. But the main point of eternal life is that we actually know God. And then the New Testament then begins to unpack for us. Even Paul says, you know, everywhere. I mean, we just said before we hit record, Colossians 1, Paul is praying for the church, and he says he wants them to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God, that you'd be fully mature. Like Paul says, you know, everything that I had I count as rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. So this whole idea of knowing God just kind of continues into the New Testament. So all that being said, this was all just teasing. Let's get to like the meat of this. What does it actually mean then when we say, you know, when Hosea says in chapter 6, hey, press on to know God, what does that mean? I mean, is that a mystical like feeling? Oh yes, I just know that I know God. Is it like, is there maybe it's not the way to put it, but is there like a spine to it? Is there like, you know, is it like meat and potatoes? Is it actually, you know, rubber hit the road, real life? Because I've heard some say that, well, knowing God is just, you know, you just learn and whatever pops into your head, that's God speaking to you, and you just know how to, you know him. And to me, that drives me crazy, because it just seems way too like mystical. And I think, sure, there's an element, and we'll maybe get into that. But for you, Don, in some of the research you've done, and even in your personal life, I don't know, just walk us through some of that. What does it mean to know God? Like, what does that actually look like?
Okay, well, I want to go back to Deuteronomy 30, because God actually addresses that very question when he's giving them the law and explaining to them. And he says, Deuteronomy 30, verse 11, "For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, well, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near you. Hmm. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. Hmm. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey my commandments, the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments, his statutes, his rules, then you shall live and multiply." And basically, you know, God said that this is not something that's way out there that you can't do. You can actually do this, to know God.
Hmm.
And in Hosea 4, the chapter I preached on a couple weeks ago, he says knowing God is steadfast love and faithfulness.
Hmm.
So that's integrity, integrity to God's ways. It's a personal integrity when I'm in public and when I'm in private. It's understanding the knowledge of God, and I have it as objective knowledge, where we actually are familiar with what God wants, what his heart desires, his commands, and then it's to do them, to make it a personal decision to actually submit to that. So it's actually not complicated. I think I said it's not rocket science. Again, it's actually living out this steadfast love, being aware of God's commands, and then actually obeying them and living them out on a daily basis. And that's the integrity that he was talking about in faithfulness, love for God and love for your fellow human beings.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you want to explain that now, but There's a subjective knowledge where we know, okay, God has given us his commands. He wants us to love our neighbor as ourself. He doesn't want us to commit adultery, these ways to relate, and he wants us to see God as a heavenly Father who's good and do what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not just knowing that, but then it's actually doing that, living that out.
Mm.
Because on one hand, like the Pharisees, they knew God's laws and they kept them to a T, but it became this religious burden that God wasn't interested in.
Yeah.
Or you can go the other way where you ignore the laws of God and you're drifting away from her and him in sin, which is also what the Israelites did.
Mm-hmm.
They lost that knowledge, so they began murdering each other, stealing from each other, worshiping other gods, and it just went away from God. So
I want to thank you for listening to part one of our podcast on what it means to know God. Stay tuned in the weeks to come for parts two and three.